The Mets did their damn thing yesterday. And I'll tell you, on a number of levels, you know, you're not going to overreact to one win just the same way you don't want to overreact to one loss. It's more you react to the winning streaks and losing streaks. Yep. But I thought a good bounce back win for them last night in a game they fall behind. Things weren't going great. Kodai Senga has become a human rain delay. It's amazing with, you know, Steve Traxel back in the day used to be mind-numbing to watch. He was a good pitcher, but he took forever to throw the ball. You would think in the day and age of a pitch clock that it wouldn't just be so laborious. And, you know, you're watching Senga, and he's in 100 pitches essentially through 4-plus innings for a guy who's supposed to be your ace. That having been said, the bullpen was phenomenal. And how about, I can't even say this, the clutch two-out hitting from the Mets last night. What the hell was that?
Yeah, in reference to Senga, I was surprised that he started off so rocky because he had his normal rest, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that was troubling, too. Like, I was like, man, this guy should be on par. But I think you make a good point, especially after, you know, being able to stack up two wins against the Braves, having 21 runs, and then being able to have that, you know, kind of rally yesterday and win 13-3. I thought, I'm a big fan of talking about momentum and morale, man. I think they showed grit and heart yesterday.
They did.
Which was big. And then it was just fun, to your point. It was fun to watch, see how they rally. You talk about Turner, you talk about McNeil, you talk about all those guys at the back of the lineup really delivering. It was good. It was a solid win for the Mets.
It was very solid. And I know you didn't get home till like 7:30 or so. So yep. The game start, I know you missed to the top of the first inning. And the game starts with what looks like a strike three call on Trey Turner. I mean, it's the same pitch, at least in my opinion, from watching it, the same exact pitch that Pete Alonso later in the game was called out on strike three was thrown to Trey Turner. And you almost wonder if Senga gets that strike three call, is the night for him a little different? Who knows? Turner then hits the triple, winds up scoring the run. But the Mets, again, I don't want to say bail him out. It was 3-0. It wasn't 9-0. But the Mets offense really sprung to life. It was amazing. You mentioned Turner. That bottom part of the order for the Mets last night was awesome. Big. Jeff McNeil was fantastic. You know, how about Luis Torrens knocking the ball?
How about Tyrone Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, so you had that. And this is the guy I talked to. I was talking about on the Sunday show I did, you know, if Mark Vientos is going to continue to be this version of Mark Vientos and not the Vientos we saw April, May, June, and July.
He's hot right now.
Mets are in a lot of games.
Batting .387, man. He's hot. But I watched an interview with him yesterday, and he said something that kind of stuck out to me in reference to, I think, with a lot of ball players in general, more of a universal thing, like how to keep it simple. Staying out of your head.
Hit ball.
Yes, that's it. And I thought when he said that, it made sense. For me, I guess a ball player to ball player, because I can tell you how many times where you're not playing well, you're wanting to be an impact player in some form, and you're just overthinking it. So for him to say that, it could tell us like he's kind of come to Jesus moment with himself, like, hey, man, you go play baseball.
Yeah.
Enough.
Which,
go play baseball.
I also think that's easy to say, too, when you're going good. I mean, when you're going bad, I do feel like you analyze everything because stuff ain't working.
I was that guy when I played. I'd always kind of look for little details that I wasn't doing right or little nuances that maybe I thought was hindering me until you realize, like, man, go play. Like, enough. Go play. Right. Let's not get in your
back
own
to instincts.
Way. Yes.
100%. You know, it's interesting because there's two schools of thought. I believe Tony Gwynn back in the day was the type that had the notebook and had notes on every single pitcher he faced so that he was very analytical when he went up there, and you saw what an unbelievable career he had.
Correct.
And I believe Keith Hernandez has talked about this very much like what you're talking about. It was more just see it, hit it, you know, recognize it, hit it, and didn't overthink things. And he had an unbelievable career, too, arguably a Hall of Fame career.
Right, and I also think if you're in the Mets right now and the way they played against the Braves and now, like I said, once again, having a big win last night, now it's about start stacking them, right? Now it's about, like, all right, don't take a step back, especially when we talked about the back of the lineup really producing.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I can't imagine how frustrated Mendoza is with Senga, but you got Manaea tonight, and he has to deliver. So it's about being consistent.
Well, a guy like Sean Manaea at this point is, I mean, it's only August 26th now. We're not mid-September yet. We certainly can't start thinking about, you know, playoff rotations. I know we had some fun with that yesterday.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they're still a long way away from making the postseason. I know the Reds lost last night, so they gain a game, which is great. But There's so much baseball to be played.
What are they, six back there?
Sixers is five. Okay. I think it might be six.
Okay. Six.
He is six. Either way, you know, with 5 weeks in the baseball season to go, if you told me they won the NL East, wouldn't be shocked. If you told me they missed the playoffs completely, I wouldn't be shocked. Right. Like, there's so much still that we have to go and to get through. But for Sean Manaea, if he does plan on making an impact in the postseason in terms of being in the starting rotation, like, it's got to start and start now. And he's got to be able to get through four, five, six innings,
but that's
as
always,
opposed to what we've seen.
But that's the last time we talked. That's what they want out of this bullpen. Get us through five, right? Like enough. Like, at some point, it's time to show up as this thing starts to tighten and we start kind of finding our lanes and kind of pushing towards September. You need that type of production. And it can't be – it can no longer be inconsistent. Like, it has to happen for this team, to your point, to get to the playoffs and be where they want to be.
No doubt. And then so the other thing about last night, which was goofy, and I don't know how much of this you caught, but did you see this delay with the – I mean, this was the dumbest thing I've ever seen with these parabolic mics in the outfield. And so – and to be honest – watching it, and Gary, Keith, and Ron, it seemed like, you know, they didn't know if it was Alec Bohm or if it was Brandon Marsh. Doesn't matter.
What
whoever it was. So
is
that's
that
at first, it's the parabolic mics they use.
Okay.
So it was very interesting. At first, they really thought, I guess TNT is doing the game tonight coming up. So they thought that TNT had put those mics up in preparation for tomorrow. And it was like 2, 3, maybe even 4 minutes into the conversation where someone must have gotten in their ear, their director or producer told them, hey, guys, those are ours. And so then they found, you know, photos and video from last season when those parabolic mics were out. But what was amazing to me was how long this took. This was a 9 to, I don't know exactly the time, but it was somewhere between 9 to 10, 10 and a half minutes when this game was stopped. And what impressed me about the way the Mets handled it was, I think it was the first pitch to Marsh, right after they removed the microphones. You get a ground ball to second base. Inning over, Mets come out in the bottom half and put up a run.
Yep.
And that crowd, you know, you talk about winning games like this and, you know, it's only one, but it was a big game to get started in the series to not have one loss turn into two where they can, you know, kind of freeze it where it was. I thought it got the crowd right because the crowd felt it on TV. It felt like a postseason type of atmosphere. Mm. And that delay was just a killer.
Took the air out of it.
But the Mets did a great job of coming right back and putting together some good at-bats, taking the lead. And from that point forward, they kind of just flew to the wind.
Excuse my ignorance, but why did they move it? Like, what was the, like, how,
I guess
was,
they
how
were
was
saying
it hindering
their,
the game?
That's I my, guess they're saying it was in their vision, the batter's eye. Which, to me, I don't understand because it wasn't during, they were saying it was mostly an issue, I forget exactly what it doesn't matter. Those microphones are left corner, right corner of the black.
Okay.
They're not right down the middle. You can even see that how close they are to the fans.
Sure.
So if a fan that is sitting in that front row is wearing a white shirt, are they going to remove them? Honestly. I mean, the whole thing was silly. And now I think Gary Cohn at one point was, you know, wondering if it was a little bit of gamesmanship on the Phillies. So that was a pretty good question because I was thinking the same thing. Like, there's no way that
I don't know how you pay attention to it if you're in the box.
You're
batting right now. Like, why? What does the mic over it?
I guess what they were saying was with Senga throwing from the right side, the right-handed release, it wasn't an issue. But when they brought Castillo in, who was throwing from the left side, it bothered them. I don't know. I mean, I got to get in the batter's box to see that. But it's amazing to me that that's never been an issue, and last night it was. So that was a good question from Gary, but both Keith and Ron kind of shot it down, saying, no, it probably was annoying them, or they could see it. But I don't know. It is what it is. I was just impressed the way the Mets responded from that delay. And one other thing, and this is just a throwaway line on my part, because this is something I battle with baseball and with baseball fans. We and this was a big conversation for me on Sunday as well with the whole pitch count thing.
Yes.
So as that delay is going on, how many pitches did Castillo throw? Just curious. To stay warm.
Probably nothing.
No, he threw a ton.
Oh, he did?
Because he's trying to stay loose, I'm saying.
Oh, I got you.
He warmed up for a half hour because Senga was so all over the place. At one point, Gary Cohn says during the broadcast, he goes, you know, there's Castillo in the bullpen. He's thrown a complete game already out there. Right? But we don't count those pitches. But it's so funny.
But this is, I mean, to your point, doesn't somebody slow him down?
I'm sure he was slowed down. Right. And I know, and trust me, I understand there's not the same stress level when you're doing that. But you're still throwing constantly for an hour before you're in and around pitching in a game. but all we count are the official pitches. That's why the whole thing's goofy.
Yeah, my interpretation of that, like, I know I would have to use the bathroom in between that, and that would be an extra delay.
Yeah, I get it. I'm sure some guys did. I'm sure they didn't come off the field, but I'm sure some guys did go into the clubhouse and do what they have to do. One other guy that really needs to be mentioned here. We mentioned Vientos. We mentioned, you know, Luis Torrens, who drove in five, had the home run.
In the really seventh, right? He had that one in seventh.
Did a great job. Yeah, great job out of the bottom of the order. Jeff McNeil, you know, he's another guy. We talk about Vientos. You know, I don't want to dismiss what Jeff McNeil has been offensively of late. And even last night coming through again in a couple of big spots. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about all of a sudden not having to rely on Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, and Juan Soto, who the three of them, Soto was on base a bunch. He walked a couple of times, had one base hit. Lindor, I think, was 0 for 5 or 0 for 6, but was on base with an error. Alonso, not much last night, though he did start a rally with a base hit. You didn't need everything from those three guys last night. And to me, it's refreshing to see contributions from other parts in the order the way they did last night, and situational hitting, which was, again, a sight for sore eyes.
Yeah, I mean, he was 2 for 4 last night. I think he had 3 RBIs.
Yeah.
And I think what's important to what you're saying is, overall, man, you need a spark, and he's been that spark for me. And I think moving forward, you know, we talked about if Lindor, Alonso, and Soto aren't hitting well, where do they go? When you have this type of contribution, you said, okay, we have people that can steady the waters. Then we're not falling dry out there. But I think, to your point, man, I think he's been probably one of them players that does get overlooked a lot, because we're so focused on Soto. We're so focused on Alonso. We're so focused on Lindor. So, yeah, give him his flowers.
Give him his flowers. That's exactly right. So a good win for the Mets last night. They gain a game on Philadelphia, gain a game on Cincinnati, who got shut out by the Dodgers last night. And I don't think a ton of time needs to be, you know, spent on the Yankees this morning. They did what they had to do. I only saw a little bit of this game. I watched the highlights. It, you know, I think to me this is a lose-lose type of series for them. They have to win. They've got to beat a team like
the
Nationals.
Well, you want to see them beat the teams they should beat.
And they did. At least last night they did. And they did it with, you know, a lot of power. They hit home runs again. Aaron Judge with a base hit, driving in a run. For the most part, when you look at this team, the one thing that I'm going to take away from last night, and you've sensed it, I think, if you've been watching the games, Cam Schlittler can pitch at this level.
Yeah.
This kid is really
filthy.
Good. Yeah. Now, I know it's probably his first time through a lot of these teams he's seeing. Same thing with Nolan McClain for the Mets so far in his first couple of starts. But he looks the part, and on a team that is looking for that third guy, behind, at least in my opinion, behind Freed and behind Rodon, I think for much of the year it was Will Warren. I still think Will Warren's a good pitcher. But this kid is, you know, just watching him, it's fun. And he's got a variety of pitches. He looks like Garrett Cole from behind.
I just said the same thing. He looks like a split image of Cole. And to your point, I think for a kid this young to have that confidence, right? We talked about what Volpe's going through and watching how he's struggling with just being in his stripes. I thought he looked great last night. I thought he just commanded the mound, and he was just delivering.
Yeah, and he gives you the start you want. It's not a 4 or 5 inning type of outing. I think he could have pitched a little more last night, but, you know, they were winning big. Makes sense. Get him out. Did a nice job. Struck out 7 or 8. He really pitched well. And, you know, we talk about the Mets. The Yankees are going to be in the postseason, so it will be interesting.
Well, their schedule's easy from here on out.
Well, in some spots, at least over the next week or so, it does toughen up for sure. But they're good enough. They're going to be in the postseason. I have no doubts about that. It was interesting, though, you know, listening to Evan a little bit yesterday, and talking about, you know, lining up the starters and how do you do it and when do you pitch Max Fried. To do that, you need to make sure you got guys behind Fried and, I guess, Rodon, too, that are going to give you a good performance. And if I was a Yankee fan, every time Cam Schlittler is on the mound, I feel pretty good about my chances about winning, or at least that he's going to keep us in a game.
Yeah, especially when you talk about, I mean, when the Yankees hit in bunches like they did last night, they're fun to watch, right? It's situational, right? You talk about one thing the Mets have been doing, man. They killed with runners on last night. I think they were 11 for 30, been 11 for 21, 11 for 31. I mean, that's what we need the Yankees to do. Start playing better in situation. We know when we got Jazz and those guys hitting, we're in a good spot. But overall, to be more balanced and start really being the Yankees we want them to be, We just need more from all sides.
And that's what, to me, what was so, I don't know if refreshing is the right word, but it was fun to watch the way the Red Sox played the game on Saturday. And it wasn't about the home run ball. It was station to station. It was driving the ball in the gaps. A lot of two-out hitting. And that sounds pretty familiar to what we saw last night in Queens. So, which and something we haven't really seen all season long.
Right.
I mean, at times, maybe. But a game like last night, they had so many opportunities. Just look at the Atlanta game. The Atlanta game, to me, was the complete opposite of last night. They're in Atlanta on Sunday, and again, you've got your foot on the throat of the Braves. You go for the sweep. You've got the early 2-0 lead. That third and the fourth inning, they can't drive in runs when you've got guys on second and third. It happened again late in the game. Yesterday, they made sure they came through with runners in scoring position, and it was
You said it yesterday. I think you were spot on. When they were up 2-0, man, we just thought, like, man, here comes the knife. They're gonna
They're gonna
put it right through them, and it didn't happen. So it was good to see the way they responded today when they got up. I mean, they started off three. They were down three, but was able to rally.
Yeah.
But it was just good to see them kind of say, all right, let's go get this thing.
13 unanswered runs last night. The Mets take the opener from the Phillies. You get Sean Manaea coming up this evening.